Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday morning here at Suspense Radio One-on-One. We have with you today, great to be back, our first One-on-One of 2014. Today's guest is going to be Christine Amsden. We had her on before on regular Suspense Radio to talk about her Cassie Scott series, so it's going to be great to have her on. So you can all sit back, relax, and enjoy, because 30 minutes of Suspense Radio One-on-One starts right now. Hey, everybody, welcome back here to Suspense Radio One-on-One. I'm your host, John Robb, and we're going to jump right in here to our guest of the day. She is, again, the author. We had her on before. Her name is Christine Amsden, and she is here with her Cassie Scott series. Book two came out in November. Book three comes out in April, so we're kind of right in the middle of a both couple things. So, Christine, thanks so much for coming on. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me here.
So, again, we talked before. It's about, because Cassie Scott is your paranormal normal detective, so it's something that's a little bit different, mm-hmm. and we had talked about book one. Now book two came out in November, Secrets and Lies. People, of course, might look at the cover and say, oh, this is dead romance and blah, 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 but it's really nothing like that. Romance is, of course, included within the book, but, you know, most suspense mysteries have a romance comedy theme or whatever. So give everybody a little bit about Secrets and Lies, book two, and then we'll kind of work our way a little forward into book three coming out in April.
Well, you're absolutely right. The cover does have a sort of, you know, the couple on the cover, and there is a romance involved in the whole series. Actually, I'm kind of hoping that when all four covers are out, you'll kind of see, you know, that's one out of four, which is about probably how much time I spend on the romance. There's, you know, one that looks, the next one, Mind Games, has a burning house, and I think that one looks a little bit more like a mystery, and I'm kind of hoping to kind of show readers that there's a lot of different aspects to this series and that it keeps progressing and it keeps getting more intense. Secrets and Lies picks up right where the first one leaves off. Actually, a lot of reviews, I've noticed a lot of reviews have that exact phrase. Secrets and Lies picks up where the first one left off. I'll give you the promo blurb I have. It says, Cassie Scott, still struggling from her parents' betrayal, wants out of the magical world, but it isn't letting her go. Her family is falling apart, and despite everything, it looks like she may be the only one who can save them. To complicate matters, Cassie owes Evan her life, making it difficult for her to deny him anything he really wants, and he wants her. Sparks fly when they team up to find two teenagers missing from a summer camp, but long-buried secrets may hurt their hopes for happiness. This book, when I say it picks up where the last one left off, I don't mean the mystery. There's a whole new mystery in this one, and that's the two teenagers go missing from a summer camp part. One of them is a cousin of Cassie's. One of them is a cousin of Evan's, and that's how they end up working together on this. They're distant cousins, I should say, three or four times removed. But it does lead them into trying to figure out what happened to them. And so that will you know, start and stop, each book is framed by a mystery like that. But Cassie's own character arc is what keeps growing and building and changing throughout the whole series. And that's what I think kind of is the strength of this. She's going to, she's not a stagnant character. She's going to learn new things. Actually, there's The Secrets and Lies is a very appropriate title. There are a lot of things she's going to learn about the world around her, about herself, about magic in this book. And there are a few definite surprises in store. The reason I chose this cover, just since you mentioned it, and I actually love it. I know that a lot of people are like, oh, it's romance. Is this really romantic? No, it's not really romantic. But what I see when I look at this is I see a woman who isn't sure. And that's Cassie in this book. I mean, that look on her face, that's what I really want people to see when they look at this cover. I want them to see the look on her face. She got burned in the first book. I say her parents betrayed her. I won't spoil it if you haven't read the first Cassie Scott book and tell you why, but they betray her. She's kind of out on her own, learning to be independent. And here's Evan, who has actually been her best friend for a long time and who's interested in more. And she's not sure about him either. And the whole kind of her life is kind of spinning around her, and she doesn't know where it's going to stop. So that's really what I love about it, is I love the look on her face, because I think that in a nutshell is how she feels during the course of this book. And there's magic. There's the crystal in her hand. She's looking at the crystal in her hand, which is something I mentioned to the artist, that Evan gives her a crystal so she can communicate with him if she needs him. So there's a little bit of magic there. And like I said, there's just a lot of things. The Mind Games cover, since we're leading into that one, I'm really pleased with it too. This one, we've got a burning house, which that speaks more to the mystery. That's actually how the person who dies in that book does die, is in a house fire. So that would speak more to the mystery. But once again, when you go into Mind Games, there's the mystery framing each book, but then there's Cassie. And in the third book, and I'm really excited about the third book, there's a mind mage in this series. He gets mentioned, or the family of mind mages, they get mentioned as early as the first book, but in the third book they're going to take center focus, and one of them is going to be using a little bit of mind magic on Cassie. So the interesting thing, since this book is first person point of view, and this was a real challenge to write but really fun, is that Cassie is being manipulated and isn't quite sure that she is. So I'm writing from her point of view, where she's not quite thinking straight, and you know, have to fight that eventually. But that was such a fun book to write, Mind Games, but a little bit different. And again, because of the things that she's going through, she's going to come through that book as a different person, as a different character, and just transformed from where she was even in the first two books.
Yeah.
And
what it looks like, and I, you know, just from looking from book one to two to three, and looking at how the progression goes, that this is more, you know, with of course the mystery, the suspense, and everything that you have wrapped up around the plot. But when you're looking just at the characters themselves, this is a journey, I guess you want to say, in their life and how they're living and how they're doing things, and you're kind of taking, you know, the reader through that kind of emotional kind of journey, which gives, you know, a lot of realism, a lot of sense, even with the paranormal and the things that you have kind of brought into it. You know, how much of the emotion do you kind of, you know, really make sure that you grab out of that, so when the reader reads it, that they have a lot better understanding of where you're coming from, about where, you know, you want the characters to go, and aside from the plot.
Well, no, you've absolutely nailed it. You 100% nailed it. That's exactly right, and I try to capture as much emotion as possible. That's why I chose first person for this series, and that was a decision I wrestled with for a while, and I'm glad I did, because this it's Cassie, and she's got attitude, and she's got a style. There's a writing style in there that's just kind of that's got attitude, and you can see the first couple of chapters of every book on my website, although if you haven't read the books, you should start with the first couple of chapters of the first book, because there might be spoilers. But there's a style, and there's just an attitude that she's conveying, and I'm absolutely emotion, and you're absolutely right. This book, there's magic in it, but I like that this is about real life. It's about magic, but it's about real life. And I kind of use, I'm a fantasy and science fiction person. I always have been. I've loved it since I was a child. But as I've grown up, I've realized that what fantasy and science fiction both allow me to do is to explore real-world problems in kind of a safe and abstract way. So you've got Cassie, and she's from a family of sorcerers, but she doesn't have any magic powers of her own, and how does that make her feel? And I think a lot of people feel like an outsider like that, and I really hope, and from the reviews I've gotten, I really think a lot of people have connected with her as a person. So this is about her and how she deals with her, either the relationships with her family is important, the relationships with her friends are important. There are actually a couple she's got two best friends who I didn't mean for it to happen, but they're going to have spin-off novels because they got a little bit too independent, I should say. They took on subplots of their own, and I couldn't quite finish it in Cassie's book. So I'm a character girl. To me, characters is the end, the beginning, the end, and the middle of any great book. It's all about the characters. And, I mean, I love mystery. I think that it's a suspense and mystery. It's a lot of fun. It's a great plot. But characters make the plot go. And what I really love to read is a story about a great central character. And actually, I'll tell you what, some people ask, you know, how'd you get the idea for this book? And there were a few things that were kind of swimming around in my head at the time, but I knew the most important thing for me was a strong central character, and one of the things I had thought about in kind of the days leading up to that was Monk from the USA TV series, mystery series, because I used to love that show, and I know it's a little old now, but he was just so fun, just his problems, and I mean, he's solving mysteries, and he's brilliant, but he's wandering around, and he's got such serious issues that you both, you know, that it's not just about the mysteries, and it's about him dealing with him solving those mysteries, and I just love that. To me, that's just kind of what I'm talking about when I mean that I want a character. I want someone who really makes you feel like they're unique, but also that you can feel like you understand them and can relate to.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny that you kind of bring up, you know, Monk, because, you know, Lee Goldberg, he kind of wrote the things on Monk, and you can kind of see that without even noticing what you read, you can kind of tell from what you write what you're interested in. And I think that that's an important thing for, because when a lot of readers read, you know, they might look at Stephen King or Dean Koontz and say, oh, he must be a this kind of person. And sometimes that doesn't always translate, but I think that, you know, you like to put yourself out there. And I think that kind of really shows, especially with, you know, with the character Cassie and the series that you have going on. And when people come up to you, of course, and now that you have a couple books out, and now you're going to have three books out, and if they come up to you, they email you, and of course they ask you the question, do they have to start back with number one? Is it something now that they can, you know, get to, then go back to one, or if three comes out, do 3, 2, 1? You know, how would you recommend
start
the series
with one.
Going to go?
Please start with one. Please start with one. I've had a couple of reviewers start with number two, and they said that they were able to do it. And that was nice. And I think possibly you could start with two. Book three, like I said, the mystery is maybe half of the book, and the other half is everything else. And everything else starts in book one, and it's like one big story. If you picked up book four, it would be like taking a book, opening it up to about three-quarters of the way through, and starting there. So please start with book one. And I think that each book is a little harder than the one before to start with, if that makes any sense. So you could get away with starting with
now,
book
two. Now,
in what way do you mean?
In what way do you mean by it's a little harder with each one?
Because the characters develop a little bit more with each one, it's going to be harder and harder to get all of the backstory that's there. You know, if you start in book two, you've only got one book of backstory to really have to. And I've got reminders. It's not like that you can't figure out what had happened. Even people who read the first book back in May and go, oh, the second book's out, and I hope you go and pick it up now that you realize it's out, you'd be like, okay, now what happened exactly? What was it? So, you know, I put reminders in there, and those same reminders can guide someone else through. But you know how you asked earlier about the emotional content of the story and everything else going on here. And that's something that I can't, that's something I can't write into backstory reminders. The emotions and how they build and how they change, and just kind of sticking with her on this journey. You want to start in book three, and you're going to be like, well, I wasn't sure I was really connecting with Cassie, and I'll be like, well, no, of course you weren't. There are two whole books in which you learned all kinds of things about her, and, you know, you had all this, you know, development that happened in real time that you're now trying to get in a reminder, and there's no summary that is ever going to be as emotional as, you know, living it for real. So that's why I say this is not, I know in mystery and suspense, books that are more about the mystery or suspense than they are about the characters, or even if they have strong characters, you know, you can watch an episode here and you can kind of get the point. But in this case, there's really a lot that is mm-hmm. other, you know, like I say, about 50% mystery, about 50% other, and that's where you're going to get lost. And people, you know, people who are looking for just a straight mystery, this might, you know, if you really, that's the only thing you want, you might think that the rest of it's just distracting, and you're entitled to that opinion. But to me, this was about life, and the mysteries and things are part of life, and part of, in this particular person's case, developing a sense of self and of purpose. And, of course, they're fun.
It's got to be fun.
Yes, absolutely. Otherwise, well, you know, I want people to read them and have fun, too. I mean, absolutely. They're entertaining, you know. So definitely. Go ahead.
Do you have an end game? Is Cassie something that you say, okay, I'm writing 5 books, 6 books? Four
is it for Cassie. I mentioned there's two spinoffs for her friends, because they got one for Madison, one for Caitlin. But the fourth book, Stolen Dreams, which I sent the final edits to my editor on this past week, or to my publisher, the final edits went to my publisher this week. Stolen Dreams is it. The Cassie comes to a kind of a place where I think you'll feel satisfied that her story is over. I hope you'll feel satisfied that her story is over. And it's possible you'll be like, oh, could you tell another story with her? And I'm not saying that I won't decide, you know, 5-10 years from now to come up with another Cassie Scott mystery. But the story that I begin in the first book, all of the things that I mentioned, the other 50%, the romance and the family struggles and the personal struggles, all of that comes to a resolution in Stolen Dreams, which is book four. So yes, there definitely is an end game. Not only that, but my rough draft of Stolen Dreams was finished when my final draft, I put in my final draft of the first Cassie Scott book. So I was actually able to make sure that I wanted to, readers who were paying attention, you could read the series and you could go back to the beginning and you could see, oh, I could see why she planned that. I love that myself when I read stories like that. So I had the chance to do that because they were all drafted before I finished the first book completely.
So a couple kind of, I guess, fun questions, and they're not very long, just a couple things. You know, I kind of watch a lot of TV shows, and I get a lot of ideas of interviews and things like that. And so they had one segment that I thought was kind of very interesting. So I'm going to try to use it here, and you're going to be the first person I'm going to use it on. So.
Oh, I get to be a guinea pig.
Yeah, so here you go.
Okay.
Okay. If you could write any book, which book would you say you wanted to write? Any book out there that's been written, which one would you have wished that you wrote?
I've got an answer for you, believe it or not. It's The Time Traveler's Wife, and I'll tell you exactly why. I hated it. It was horrible, but the concept was brilliant. I loved the concept so much. This was one of – I remember reading it for – I read it 3-4 years ago, and I don't know what it was about that book exactly. I know it's gotten a lot of popularity, and a lot of people have really enjoyed it. But for me, I just – and maybe it's because I'm a writer and because sometimes mm-hmm. when you're a writer, when you read, you go, oh, I would have done it like that. But for me, as I was reading that book and I found it to be so convoluted and tough to really kind of, I found it tough to connect with the characters because of the twisted chronological way that the story was told. And I know that because that you travel back in time, there's a lot of different ways that you can tell it. But I thought, you know, that you could take one of the characters and you could kind of at least show them going straight. Or, you know, somehow you could make this make a little bit more sense. But it seemed to me it went backward, it went forward, it went all over the place. And that wasn't my only problem with it, but it's the one that's really coming to mind right now. But I read that book and I just thought, this is a great story. I mean, a terrific story. I could tell this story and I would love to tell this story. But because it was so popular, I can't. You know what I mean? Because there's sometimes you can get inspiration from books and then you can, you know, write something and spin off, and it's always yours. It's always unique. I'm not sure if you always can make it yours, but if it's from a really popular idea like that, then everyone's going to be like, oh, well, she just copied off the time traveler's wife. So I can't write the book, but I really wish I could. They actually, and of course, you know, they had the Doctor Who thing where they did something like it, and once again, they botched it.
Yeah.
But they tried to do something similar, but they botched it. I almost thought they were going to redeem the whole story.
Now, which was the first book you bought with your own money?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I can't remember.
What's the kind of the first book that you remember reading that kind of got you excited about writing?
The first book I read that got me excited about writing. Okay, that might be a little easier. I wrote my first short story when I was 8, but I know I was in 6th grade before I really started writing almost every day. And that was the year that I read The Chronicles of Narnia. And then I reread The Chronicles of Narnia.
Oh, C.S. Lewis, yeah.
And then
I was in 4th grade
when I
picked those books up.
Yeah. I missed them until 6th grade, but I really did enjoy them. And also A Wrinkle in Time. I read that year, too. And those were some books that I really enjoyed and I think really got me excited about reading. And writing, writing.
So now, who was, like, the first author you ever met face-to-face?
Orson Scott Card. That was an easy one because I went to a buy audition boot camp with Orson Scott Card in 2003. He's a science fiction writer. He wrote Ender's Game, which just recently came out in theaters. In 2003 at the boot camp, ten years ago at boot camp, he was explaining all the difficulties he was having making it into a movie. So it's been that long in in production. Because when I found out it was coming, I'm like, I'll believe it when I'm sitting in the theaters. Because 10 years ago, I swear, he was telling us all the problems he was having with trying to cast a child who didn't look too old for the part, which I can totally understand why that was a problem. But yes, I met him in person and I learned how to write a little bit from him. Certainly took some inspiration from him, and he was a very nice person and had some nice, interesting things to say about writing too.
So now here's the last one. If you could write Cassie Scott with any other character, who would it be? And which author would you want to collaborate with? You know, it would be with the same author that you're collaborating with.
Okay, so I need to write her in a book with another character from another book?
Yeah,
let's
say you wanted to pair Cassie up with Jack Reacher, so you wanted to write something with Lee Child and put the two together. Who would that be? Who would that person be in that character?
Well, I'll probably have to go with Harry Dresden from Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files, which is another, it's in the same genre, so it would blend pretty well. We would have to fight over a few of the rules of magic that I disagree with him on, but I think that would be great because it's also a mystery and it's also the paranormal and there's a lot of magic and fun stuff going on. Plus, and the advantage to collaborating with Jim Butcher on Harry Dresden, I'll tell you, is Harry Dresden, now I love his characters too, but I tell you, he does some superb action scenes. And I think I do pretty good with action scenes, but I just read his and I drool. So I think we could get together and kind of shore up each other's, you know, weaknesses and come up with something really great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah,
right? So I mean, you know, so you know, we kind of have about, you know, 2 minutes left or so. So kind of like your final thoughts, you know, where, give the reader, you know, maybe you want to start, you know, people who are just finding out. So you're going here from book one, you're going forward, and kind of let them know, you know, why Cassie? Why should they pick it up? You know, what are they going to get out of it? What do you want them to get out of it? And kind of give us your, you know, your rundown in like the next couple minutes.
The main theme and the main thing that I want people to get out of this series is that you don't need to be the most powerful person in the world to be a hero, that everybody's got their own strengths and that everybody has something to contribute. That is what I feel that Cassie needs to learn, and that is the journey that she's going to take over four books. That's why I planned it in a four-book series. It's going to take a little while. But that's really what I want people to take away from this, that whoever you are and whatever you've got something you can contribute. And Cassie, she doesn't have magic, and she fixates on that because of who she is and her background. But she's clever, and she's witty, and she's compassionate. She really cares about people. That's one of her big strengths. And she's brave. And she goes out there, and she makes change, and she makes things happen. And that's enough. And we've all got something like that. We could all be Cassie in our own ways. And that's what I think that you can take out of the series if you pick up the first book and start reading.
That was quick. You could have kept going.
Oh, I know, but I kind of, you're right. And I thought about it. I'm like, what else can I add? I think that was pretty much it.
Yeah, that's good in a nutshell. I mean, I just want to remind everybody here that if you go to ChristineAmsden.com, and that's AMSDEN.com, you're going to have a lot more information of what everything she has going on here with her Cassie Scott series of books. You know, you do also review things. But you only review audio, so you got to let people know you have nice policy up there, contact you, events you're going to go to. And so it's great that you're able, you know, that you're going to be getting out, that people are going to be able to maybe contact you and see you. Of course, you're, you know, on Facebook, Twitter, they can get your newsletter and things like that. So, Christine, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Wish you nothing but the best, and thank you guys for coming on again today.
Thank you so much. It was great talking to you, too. Have a great day.
Great. All right, you too. Take it easy. Have a good one.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Right. So, again, everybody, that is Christine Amsden. And the book, and the series, is Cassie Scott. The newest book is Secrets and Lies, with the next book coming out in April, the e-book coming out in April called Mind Games, Book 3. And she's going to have four books in the series. You can go back and start. It's Cassie Scott, Paranormal Detective, and that's Book 1, which is available now. It has received a Silver Global e-book award. So she is definitely an author that is kind of more along the lines of, you know, the up and coming, the coming up, the authors that you are looking to try to find, those new ones outside of, you know, the bestsellers. You're looking for great stories, and she is definitely one that you can get involved with. We want to thank all of you for listening to the show today and all the shows that we have here on Suspense Radio and everything that we have going on. Don't forget Crime and Science Radio, Stranger Than Fiction. And that's going to come up this Friday and this Saturday again with our next shows there. So until next time, hey, we just want to say thanks to Christine for coming on. It was a pleasure to have her on again. And we will see you all in the next couple weeks for our next Suspense Radio show. So until then, everybody, goodbye, thanks a lot, and just keep reading.